Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
AI stole my books, three of them, and I am getting now $9,000. And so this podcast episode is going to be super fast. We're going to give you all the details you need to know, but we're going to jump into it. And Katie, first of all, I'm going to show the article. This infringement happened. NPR covered it. New York Times covered it. But it's, I think it's precedent setting. So it says Anthropic settles with authors in first of its kind AI copyright infringement lawsuit. And as you scroll down, you see that it's actually stole 500,000 books, trained its AI, obviously made a ton of money off that, and just wanted to walk away and say, oh, we did nothing wrong. The good news is that each author is getting around $3,000, but there's some strategy and there's some important details. And so I'm going to show people the screen here because I thought this was really interesting. So the website is called AnthropicCopyrightsSettlement.com. And here's the website where you can file a claim. But what I did, first of all, Katie, tell me if you can see my screen still when I click work.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can't see you, but I'm going to type in my name here. So I typed in my name. And I saw, did I actually get infringed upon? And so I typed in my name and I found three. And there they are, The Fine Line, Day Job to Dream Job, and Elixir Project. So right out of the gate, let's tell people, first of all, that if you think you might have been infringed upon, yes, you can search. And then yes, on that same page, you can file a claim. And boom, you just click that button. And we did this the other day, and I'm supposed to get $3,000. But it's very important, Katie, that one caveat, you have to have a registered copyright. So I think this is really going to help authors because I just wrote some notes, I don't know, scribbles the other minute here. This is technically an unregistered copyright in America anytime you put something in tangible form. Is that right?
Right. As soon as you have it in a tangible medium, you have a copyright that exists automatically.
Yep.
Now, you don't have a federally registered one. That's where you have to take the additional step to then go file it at the copyright office. And if, let's say, your name is on this website, right, and you don't have a federally registered one, you can file one, and there's ways you can expedite it to get it quickly in about like 5 to 8 business days.
Costs more money.
It costs more money. It's about $800 to do that, but you'll get it quickly. Otherwise, could take like 5 to 8 months or so.
Yeah.
Because the processing time is a little bit long right now.
I love it. So, what I want to show people is this. This is going to be super helpful for everyone. But here's kind of what I do, Katie. The moment I have an idea, remember I tell people abracadabra means I create as I speak. We want instant IP to mean I protect as I imagine. So the moment I have an idea, I quickly protect that with instant IP. Why? Because it creates a timestamp. It creates that idea and turns it into a smart contract, which is literally an asset. But then while I do that, I quickly go on to a copyright. And a copyright with a lawyer, I always say, you know, lawyers are great. I mean, you are one. I hire you and Wigan and Dana all the time. But this can get a little complex because they're asking questions about claimants and rights transferred. And do you think it's wise at times for people who have the money to use a lawyer in that process?
It depends on the person's comfort level. I'd say in the volume of copyrights they're filing, if it's sort of a one-off thing and the client tells me, look, I have no idea what to do, just handle it. Okay. If let's say they're copywriting, they're creating tons of content, right? Tons of handouts, thinking tools, whatever. And they then maybe it's worth just doing it with the lawyer once to know what to do, and then you can do it yourself. So there's a lot of different ways to go after it, depending yep. on what, you know, how much content you're creating and what you're doing there.
That's great. And so what I did is I basically recognized that, hey, three of the books had registered copyrights. All my books, all 14, have been instant IP immediately. Even prior to this lawsuit, though, I started to file my other 11 books as registered copyrights. You know, relied on you and Wigan and Dana for some thoughts on that. And you basically led us to the right place. But so now those are all being processed, but it's going to take some time because you're right. I mean, you know, I don't want to fast track 11 and all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's an $800 times 11 bill that I
was. Yeah, that's a hefty one.
Yeah. But, yeah. But instead what I do is I felt very secure that, hey, instant IP, at least we've got those time stamped. And I moved on to the copyrights, but I want to encourage everybody, like, I think this is only going to increase with AI. I mean,
yeah,
right? Right. AI right. is like on the rise. People are doing all kinds of searches. And we just talked in our previous episode about how people are unintentionally stealing other people's things because AI is just serving up what they think is original, but really it's, I mean, look at this. It probably stole our 500,000 books, and now all of our content's being used as prompts and search whatever, you know, like
training data. Yeah.
Training data. And so now when people are asking, you know, what do you think about this or what do you think about that? It might be taking, if you're an author, it might be taking your answers, and all of a sudden people are like, ooh, I love that. That's mine. So this is the problem, Katie, don't you think, with what's going on in the world today, is if AI is not held responsible, what incentive do authors even have to write books?
Well, right, exactly. And I just think too, it also, you know, we're seeing so much more of just, there's this kind of lack of trust in yeah. these AI tools. I was actually at a dinner last night. It was all about AI and healthcare. And this one person was telling me what he does is he runs stuff through like four different AI tools, ChatGPT, Gemini, right? Tons of them. And each time he tries to have the next one find where there's issues of trust in wow. what has been output, so that each time he runs it through, it gets smarter and smarter, and then it trains itself sure. to look for these, you know, issues. So I think it's a real big problem. And it'll probably continue to be a problem too, because how can you get these AI tools to be so up to date in real time to scrape all this information that's constantly yeah. changing? You know, it's kind of a moving target.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing. And I think it's a problem we're going to continue to see happen here.
Yeah. So my takeaways are, number one, if you're an author or creator, take your IP seriously, go through the proper IP protection channels, use one that fits your budget. But if you don't take it seriously, you are literally a victim, and you just right. sit in that victimhood. And I'm not blaming you. I didn't ask for this to happen, but neither did I sit around. I said, yeah, you bet I'm going to take that $9,000. And I want the AI companies to feel the weight. But you can see I'm turning it into content now. I'm trying to help other people. Because here's the worst thing, Katie. If authors just say, I'm not going to create anymore. Why create? And I think that's where actually the world gets hurt.
Yes.
Because, you know, if people then feel like their creativity is, because remember the Venetian act or whatever it was called, but they wrote that back hundreds of years ago. And they said that if we don't create IP protection, we will not attract men and women of great innovation. And so like they put that in place because they wanted to attract talent.
Yes.
And I think exactly. that's, we need that. If you don't have IP law, nobody, it's almost like a socialism, like, well, anyone can take anybody's things and profit.
Right. Exactly. Well, and I just think too, if you're an author, and Carrie, I think you do a great job of this with Igniting Souls, talk to your publisher too, yeah, to see if they're copywriting your book for you, if you need to do it yourself, because sometimes book publishers do it on your behalf, other times they don't, but that's something you want to kind of clarify at the beginning to know what to be doing in advance of a book launch too.
That's right. And this whole thing that came out, and we'll wrap up with this, but this whole thing that came out, we met as a team, as a publishing company. We said, look, we are going to be the world's leading publisher on this. And so we put in new processes and policies to even take this more seriously. And like you've been saying all along, when you have a registered copyright, you get those statutory damages. So folks, hope this was helpful. Share it with an author. If you love it, give us a rating so that people keep finding this helpful stuff. Thanks for being here today, Katie.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company Podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.